Gap Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The state capitol is in full swing. Although the latest class of lawmakers were sworn in last month, momentum has really picked up with the new year. We've been spending the first weeks of 2025 getting to know the freshman lawmakers in our districts. And today we're joined by State Senator Christopher Cabaldon. The Democrat represents District 3, which spans Yolo County, the Delta, Sacramento Valley, the North Bay, and Wine Country. But this isn't his first time in elected office. He was West Sacramento's mayor for more than two decades. Senator Cabaldon joins us now with more on his priorities in office. Welcome.
Thanks, Vicky.
So as I mentioned, you're no stranger to elected office. I think you're the longest serving mayor of West Sacramento, more than 20 years. Let's start before then. What got you interested in public service and politics?
Well, My interest got started when my mom told me that I wasn't going to school for the seventh grade with all of my friends, and instead I was going to be enrolled in a brand new magnet school. The Los Angeles Unified School District, where I grew up, had just been ruled to be unconstitutionally racially segregated. And the school district's response to the court order was to open up California's very first magnet school. Today, magnet schools are everywhere, but back then there was a brand new idea that people would go to school outside of their neighborhood. And my mom was insistent. She's from Michigan. Her family's coal miners and auto workers. She'd married a Filipino when she was in the 60s and had started to experience race in a whole different way. And she decided I was going to go to this school. I had no interest in racial justice or educational equity. I just wanted to go to school with my friends and not be on a bus for 45 minutes. But mom wins. And I got on the bus for school, got off, and suddenly there were reporters everywhere wanting to know, yelling questions. Who are you going to eat lunch with? Can the government tell you who your friends are going to be? And I shied away for a moment, but then started answering the questions and realized no matter your age or your circumstance, you have a voice. And you better learn something about it and be educated about it. So I got super engaged in that issue at age 12 and have been in politics in some form or another ever since.
Yeah. Why did you decide to run and stay in for as long as you did for West Sacramento mayor?
Well, you know, I was the crazy part, I was working as a staffer in the state legislature. That was my first job out of coming out of college, was running the Higher Education Committee in the state assembly. And I was trying to find a place to live, and I accidentally ended up in West Sacramento because none of the highways connected, and I couldn't get back to my apartment down in the grid. And a couple of years later, I decided nothing was happening in the city that I thought should. Keep in mind, I'm a 28-year-old, impatient young man. So I decided to run for city council, but I thought it was just going to be for 2 years, maybe four, and just go and, you know, fix everything and then leave. And I ran and I lost. The voters are like, you're a bright young man. You're interesting. You've got great ideas. You don't know the first thing about this town that you just moved into. So maybe, but get to know us first. And so I did. And then I ran again 2 years later and with a much clearer sense of the soul of the community and why things were the way that they were and what people really wanted. And I still thought it was going to be a short time. And I realized that even though, you know, potholes and gutters and fires and all that may not be the most interesting thing to people who enter politics, they're really where literally the rubber meets the road, but also where democracy really happens. And I fell in love with the process of change, and we started to win and then win some more and then win some more. And we were building something really remarkable and really special. And then you look at your watch and it's 20 years later. As I reflect back on it, it's like, what a great gift to be able to spend your life with your neighbors, building something special and new together, and then seeing it happen. What a sense of purpose and an accomplishment.
Well, the friends I have who live in West Sacramento, they say West Sac, best Sac. So
I don't say that, but it's very common.
Yeah. And you have to obviously be diplomatic. So West Sacramento is in your district. Obviously, your district is a lot larger now when you're in District 3. What did being mayor in local office, how did it prepare you for now being a state lawmaker?
This is a great question because they're so different. I mean, it's, you know, when you're mayor, people say, when are you going to run for the legislature or Congress? Like there's some sort of ladder that you're supposed to proceed up or in order to win the video game or something. You just got to keep going forward. And they're just completely different jobs. But when you're a mayor, you have to deliver results. Like you, I worked to create the first universal preschool in California in the state, and college savings accounts, and rebuilt a $2 billion levy system. But also Thursday, the trash has to get picked up. If there's a fire, you have to put it out. And that experience, the blend between vision and action and results, and like stuff works, is kind of a unique thing in politics to mayors. So I've already found in the short time I've been in the Senate how useful it is to have that perspective. Okay, how do we change the world? But what do we do about that then on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, the real actions? When I was running, I was surprised when I was in Yountville or Vallejo or other parts of the district that people even had even heard of West Sacramento. But we had earned a reputation over a long time of a place that was, we got a lot of challenges too, but where you could get results and make it happen. And I've been very excited to be able to work on that now in the Senate.
You mentioned when you tried to be in city council the first time, you lost, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes we learn the most from our failures. When that happened, I think about other times as well, because you ran for state office in 2008, I believe, Assembly District 8, and you narrowly lost. And then, of course, in 2020, Martha Guerrero became the mayor of West Sac. You ran for that and you lost as well. How did all of that shape you in your life, professionally and even personally?
I happen to think, I don't tell any other elected officials this, but I think every politician needs to lose at least once. Or if you're going to serve as long as me, you should lose a couple of times. It's so easy when you run for office to think about it like it's high school prom or whatever. It's just about you. And when you win, it's like, the voters, they love me. They think I am brilliant and I know everything and I'm right about everything. And they voted for everything that I believe in and everything that I want to do. And that's just not the reality. When you lose and then win, or win and then lose, you realize, no, there's much more to it than that. It's about, what have you done? What are you doing? Voters change too. And there's a humility that comes with that, that also causes some reflection and understanding that you have a role to play, but you have not been selected by any sort of divinity to do this to this world. So it really has shaped my work. You also, I think, become less, that you get less of a sense that this is my identity. And I think one of the challenges that politicians often face is, you can be put on a pedestal, and it's hard to remember who you are as a real person after. And I think the act of winning and losing then reminds you that we are all citizens and residents of these communities. I'm happy to do this for a while. And the reason why that's important is that you will often be called upon to do hard things and to really return to your ethical center. And that's almost impossible to do for people who cannot imagine themselves not having a life as a mayor or a senator or something like that, because then you will do anything. You'll do whatever it takes to hold on to that, because it's the core of who you are. When you don't win every single time, you remember, no, that I have to live with myself the next day and I have another life. So let me do the right thing while I'm in office.
I mean, you could have. You obviously have that philosophy, but after you lost in 2020, I think more than 20 years is great tenure of public service. You could have just called it. Why did you decide to throw your hat into another campaign?
Well, honestly, Vicky, that was the plan. I had no intention of returning to elective office. And I was encouraging, when the Senate seat was open because of term limits, I was encouraging a lot of young, dynamic, diverse elected officials and community leaders and little league coaches from, throughout the Senate district. There's a million of us in the district to run. And I kept making the case that's so important and here's what you can accomplish. It's hard, but you can do a lot in order to advance California and our community and people's quality of life and affordability. And one by one, they all said no. And after talking to several of them, I thought, well, someone has to do this. And the only person I haven't talked to about it is myself. And so I had to just make a judgment that my experience in West Sacramento and at the regional level and to some extent in the state government where I've worked as well, we need it. I needed to contribute in a different way. And so you can tell from the beginning of our conversation, I'm a big believer in California's big audacious vision around clean energy and economic opportunity and all of the key priorities we have. We're not always delivering, and that's showing up in households, where energy is unaffordable, housing is unaffordable, college and university is inaccessible and unaffordable. And so we've got to do better in state government. And so I feel like my experience in West Sac is the right thing for the right moment that we're facing both as a state. That's got compounded now because of the federal government and California is now grappling with the federal government in the way that those of us in local government often dealt with California as mm-hmm. a government. So I have a little bit of experience of navigating those treacherous waters where there's another level of government that isn't always on your side and making it work.
When you were traveling around the district that you were campaigning to serve, from Wine Country to the Delta to, of course, Yolo County, where you live, or even the North Bay, tell us about, for those who aren't in your district, tell us about the people who live in your area that you're elected to serve and the most pressing issues that face District 3.
Yeah, it's a district of mostly small and medium-sized places. So it's not pure rural. It includes larger cities like Vallejo and Fairfield and Vacaville. Those are the three largest cities in my district. But it's mostly small towns. It's mostly the Winters and Dixons and Woodlands and West Sacramento's and Yountville, Rio Vista. Just there's 22 cities in the district, and most of them are on the smallish side. But there's still a million of us, just like there are in Senate districts in Los Angeles. And these are places, many of whom have really rich, profound identities from the past, and many of which are trying to just find a place for themselves in the world, kind of like West Sacramento has been. And they face some really intense issues. In the Delta portion of my district, obviously, there's the ongoing battles over the Delta tunnels and whether the Delta will survive, both as an ecosystem, but also as a place where people live and make their lives and their families and grow food, especially with some of the new threats from the federal government. In Wine Country, the support and strengthening of the wine industry in California is top of mind, but a pale second compared to wildfires and the insurance crisis that we're facing. And then in many other cities, from Vallejo and American Canyon to Woodland and Dixon and even Davis, really is housing, economic development, making the fiscal viability of these cities. Half the cities in my district had sales tax measures on their ballots last year. So we're hurting in communities and need a stronger financial base, industrial growth, but also significant improvements in housing affordability and availability.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with newly elected State Senator Christopher Cabaldon. The Democrat represents California's 3rd District, which spans Yolo County, the Delta, Sacramento Valley, the North Bay, and Wine Country. You didn't really get a warm-up time after you were sworn in. I mean, January has just been relentless for a myriad of reasons, but focusing on the state capitol, I mean, you really had to hit the ground running. How have the first few weeks at the state capitol been?
Well, you nailed it. This is supposed to be the slow month. Today, I had they had a training for new senators on how the budget works. But of course, we've been working. I already voted on a $2.5 billion wildfire relief package last week in the budget committee, which I serve on. And so even the Senate's internal procedures, they're still thinking of us as, here's where the bathroom is. And we have been working pretty hard. Between the wildfire in Los Angeles, which obviously is consuming and must consume the state's attention and will for a long time. The implications of it statewide, including for those of us here in this region, are profound. And then sort of the unending stream of executive orders and things from the federal government, which we knew were coming. But they don't only deal with immigration and LGBTQ rights. They definitely do. They're massive threats in that regard. But in so many other ways, from water to the viability of our electrical grid, and things that a lot of threats that will dramatically increase the price of food and electricity and housing. So the trifecta of some of the biggest affordability challenges in the state. So we are on. We're working with all pistons going at the moment. I am glad I was assigned to the budget committee, and I chair the budget subcommittee now that's responsible for housing and homelessness and kind of for the committee in charge of all the state agencies that make it work, including what a lot of folks in the Sacramento region work at or interact with. So I'm excited about the opportunities to be engaged, but there's definitely no honeymoon.
On the housing and homelessness front, I think there are probably a good number of voters who would think that the existing policies have not been working as well, at least that they would like them to, and that they still feel the hit of affordable housing, and they still see some of the most vulnerable people living on the streets. What can you do as a new lawmaker with a fresh perspective to help curb this problem and make a bigger dent?
Yeah, so I this is an area where my local experience is helpful, at least making sure that I understand how to focus on the outcomes and the results. So West Sacramento has been, for the last decade, in the top 15 of housing producers, both affordable and market rate housing, in California per capita. We were one of the first pro-housing cities designated by the state. So unusual for my district, West Sacramento has been in the vanguard at delivering housing. Also, a decade ago, we were able to cut unsheltered homelessness by half and keep it flat ever since. That is a remarkable outcome in both the region and Northern California. But what both things remind me is that we can do it, that we have to spend smart, evaluate programs, stop doing the stuff that doesn't work, and keep innovating. And we also have to marry new housing, shelter beds, all the key support services, mental health, with the enforcement actions that the voters locally and statewide have smartly insisted on. That we have to do all those things together at the same time. But when we do, we can get better results. And so, in my budget committee, we will be spending much of our time over the coming months getting essentially an inventory of the programs. What are we doing now? How do we know whether it's working or not? If it's not working, let's stop doing it. If we don't know, how do we get the data and the evidence to make those decisions? And then what are the innovative things that are working at the local level, both here and in other states, that we might be able to try here in order to get folks into housing and to build much, much more affordable?
Would you be in support of auditing how spending works in the state? Because we've devoted a lot of money, I believe an unprecedented amount of money, towards this issue to see if it's actually effective.
I am, and at the same time, that's kind of my job now. It's not an audit in a technical sense, but now, you know, my budget subcommittee is charged with, okay, figure out where to spend this money. And the obviously the first question is, what are we doing now? Let's have some grace for the cities and counties and the nonprofits. A lot of people have been pouring their hearts out. These dollars this is not waste, fraud, and abuse. We've been, cities and counties and communities came up with ideas and programs and services and projects during the pandemic or just after, because it was a public health crisis. Programs have been like announced by the state, and then you have to apply in 10 minutes. You don't have time to come up with something that really works. So a little bit of grace for the folks that are trying. It's not that they are falling down on the job, but even with that, you learn once you do it, then we see, it does that work or not? It was a good idea, good theory, good try. That one is actually not panning out. And here's another promising approach that we can take. So yes, an audit would help us identify, where did the money go? But so should the budget process. That should be a normal part of what we're doing in the legislature, is before we take up the budget, is to ask and be given the data and the program information, what is happening and what is working.
In the last 30 seconds that we have, when you join us next year, January 2026, what do you hope we talk about when we look back on your first year in office?
I think this topic in particular around affordability for housing, food, energy, that we will have tangible results, but that will be showing up in people's pocketbooks as a result of the investments and also the accountability that we're going to be insisting on in state government.
State Senator Cabalda, and as always, thank you.
Vicky, thanks so much.
Look forward to having you back. That is newly elected State Senator Christopher Cabalda. The Democrat represents California's 3rd District, which spans Yolo County, the Delta, Sacramento Valley, the North Bay, as well as Wine Country. And he was also West Sacramento's mayor for 2 decades. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.